Welcome back to Bullpen Games, Quick Beats Edition. I'm your host, Nate Markham. With me, as always, is Fantasy Triage himself, Aaron Pags. And tonight, we have a very special guest. You can find him at Access Twins. He is in a hot tub right now, living it up in Minnesota. Brandon Warren. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How are you?
Not in a hot tub. So, obviously, a little step below you, my friend. So, tell us a little bit about yourself real quick, man.
So, I was a Minnesota Twins fan in the mid-90s. And then I started covering them when I got out of college in 2010. And I've covered them pretty much off and on, but mostly on over the last 8 or 9 seasons. And now Access Twins is kind of my own website, like a passion project, where I can write and podcast and do whatever I want. And the only person I answer to is myself. So if something stinks and somebody tells the manager, that's me. So it's nice. It's freeing, and it's a nice way to make a little bit of money on the side. And hopefully it grows into something bigger than it is right now.
Yeah, we're a two-headed horse here. So whenever anything goes wrong, I blame Nate. Whenever anything goes great, Nate says, what a fantastic job I'm doing. So it works out well.
Nice.
Exactly. Well, we got you on because we want to talk about the Twins. So, and obviously here at Bullpen Games, Quick Beats, all of our content is bullpen related and fantasy baseball. And Nate, let me know that you are a fantasy baseball player. Is that true?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. I'm in Audinu, the Fangraphs League. Mm-hmm. I'm in Yahoo, ESPN. And I even started doing RT Sports this year, which I'd never done before. And then I also do Scoresheet, which, and Scoresheet's a little different too. We're actually doing a supplemental draft tonight. So that's kind of cool too. Lots of different things. And then I play in a sim league too. That's out of the park 6.5 with like a 2004 engine. So I like to play a lot of different things like that.
You will fit in very well with us. I've been an RT fan, RT Sports, I'd say, player for years since it started. It's based here pretty much out of St. Louis, and so having known a lot of the people that got me into it, it's nice to hear that name from other people, because Aaron, when I mention it, just looks at me like a deer in headlights and goes, what kind of weird write-in system are you in St. Louis, in the middle of nowhere, the heartland of nothing? And he looks at me the same way when I talk about Tom Berdansky, Gary Gaetti, or any of the other old Minnesota Twins from back in the day.
Well, and I would have looked at you that same way until my draft in, I think it was February. And they were giving me a lot of grief for my draft on the radio, because it was a Sirius XM sponsored league. And they were kind of ripping me on the air, Steve Phillips and all that. And I was like, that's not very nice, Steve Phillips. I didn't trade Scott Kazmir for Victor Zambrano.
Exactly.
But I digress.
So let's just jump in, man. I mean, let's talk about, so going into the season, I can speak for myself when I say that I was really, really low on Rodgers coming in as the preeminent closer. Alex Colome signing, wasn't a big fan of anybody getting the lion's share there. But Rocco Baldelli's approach, one closer, matchup situation. We all know that he kind of falls in line with that Rays approach. What was your take on the bullpen in Rocco Baldelli's, mindset going in?
Well, I thought that Taylor Rogers would probably be treated like the incumbent. He'd get the first chances, and then on opening day, Alex Colome blew a save in the lottery. So that shows you what I know. But it's not a traditional closer hierarchy. Really, they've got four guys in the back end that I think they trust to pitch the ninth inning at some point, whether it's Tyler Duffy, Hansel Robles, Alex Colome, or Taylor Rogers. I think a couple other guys could work their way into that mix, and I also think Colome has kind of worked his way down that mix. But as we've seen in the last 4 or 5 games, this bullpen has really snowballed. It's gone from like a 2.70 team ERA 7 games ago to like a 5.20 ERA. So it's basically doubled in the last week worth of games. So each guy's kind of had a blow up. Thielbar had his most recently. Now he's on the COVID list. Jorge Alcala had one here just recently. Hansel Robles had one just recently. It's a talented group, and Rocco's going to mix and match. Like, if he sees, let's say, I can't think of a big left-handed hitter in the American League, but if he knows that guy's probably going to come up in the seventh or eighth instead of the ninth, then either Thielbar or Rodgers is going to get that inning, whereas you might expect Rodgers to normally work the ninth inning as the traditional closer. So it's kind of a minefield for fantasy owners, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I was just kind of looking at the bullpen as a whole, and you know, Minnesota's used, I mean, well, they've missed some games, but they've thrown fewer innings in relief than every team in the American League except for Cleveland. And I was also taking a look at, you know, the way their bullpen is made up. It's not necessarily a bunch of flamethrowers. Their average bullpen velocity on pitches, 92.5 miles an hour, is 28th in baseball. So all those things considered, they've actually run into some tough luck. And I'd call them the biggest tough luck bullpen so far at the start of the season in the first 2.5, 3 weeks. They've got a five, like you mentioned, the 5.2 ERA, but a 3.53 xFIP. And one guy you mentioned was Caleb Thielbar, but another guy, Cody Stashek, who's just been as unlucky can be, 52% K rate with a plus seven ERA and a 1.13 xFIP. Thielbar, 48% K with a 5+ ERA, but a sub-1 xFIP. You know, Thielbar, like you mentioned, he had that rough outing against Los Angeles where he went at Ohtani, got him out, intentionally walked Mike Trout to pitch to Justin Upton and gave up the grand slam. Then he was, you know, all out of sorts, gave up the home run right immediately following to Brandon Walsh. But he's been excellent, excellent out of the pen. You know, you watch this team every day. Are they due for some positive regression from some of these bullpen guys?
Oh, no question about it. It won't be Thielbar or Stashek for a while. Stashek got sent out. Thielbar's on the COVID IL, but there's no doubt that each of these guys has just had one hiccup, and column A, you maybe say two. A lot of the damage that he had on opening day was self-inflicted. He fielded a bunt poorly and then, or a swinging bunt, I can't remember for sure. And then there was a fly ball to Kepler that he had caught. So, I mean, it's not been as dire as the statistics look on the whole. I think looking at the peripheral stats like you have tells the story, which is this is a good, talented group. They're going to strike some people out. They're going to be able to get lefties. They're going to be able to get righties. But they are going to need to get some innings under their belt to get these numbers back to where they look indicative of the kind of talent these guys have. Because, you know, we saw with Hansel Robles last year with the Angels, he had like a 7 or 8 ERA and didn't pitch that much. You know, that's why he was available for the price he was available on the market. But 2 years ago, he was one of the best relievers in baseball. And the Twins love taking those kinds of gambles. They did it with another Angels reliever whose name is Blake Parker. He was one year removed from a really nice season. It didn't work out for him with the Twins. He got DFA'd halfway through the season. But they're always going to be trying to mix and match in the bullpen, and then they've got some other fun guys that they're going to try, whether it's Glenn Sparkman, Luke Farrell through today. Lewis Thorpe looks like he could be some fun as a swing man. They've got a lot of options. I like this bullpen a lot, even though I think they're like probably 22nd in ERA. I think they're going to be a solid group overall.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you touched on Colum A's struggles just a little bit too. And well, I mean, I guess the whole season has been kind of this weird conundrum of opportunities. And then Rocco comes out and actually says that, you know, Alex has this tremendous late inning experience and he's our guy. And immediately afterwards, what happens? And I'm thinking, okay, this is coach speak, maybe posturing. Colum A gets an opportunity. Does well, and at the same time, Robles and Rodgers both falter. Is there a situation you think? I mean, this is starting to culminate into a potential Colum A only ninth. Is that even a realistic situation going forward that he might occupy 80% of the save opportunities in Minnesota?
It's so fluid with guys struggling and guys getting COVID and all that. But I think if they were to settle on a ninth inning guy, it would be Colum A because he doesn't really have the high octane stuff you want to attack guys with in earlier high leverage spots. Like if you get Jose Abreu out in the eighth inning or Luis Robert in a big game, Colum A is not going to be your guy. Colum A is going to be the guy that starts with a clean inning. And he's almost like like the Water Jr. version of Fernando Rodney. So it's like you got to really manage expectations. But at the same time, too, his track record is one where it's like he's always good for a sub-4 ERA, about 8 pickups, 9 innings, and he's just going to be steady. He's not quite like David Robertson pre-Phillies, but he's on that track. And I think, too, an important thing to note was last year his swinging strike rate was like 15.8%, I want to say. And if you compare that to other pitchers who had that similar swinging strike rate, his Ks per nine was a huge anomaly because I think he was in the sixes. Everybody else was in the 9 or 10 range. So if he can continue to get swinging strikes, there should be some positive regression strikeout-wise. Although, again, with that said, I mean, he throws a cutter so much that guys make contact with. So he's never going to get better per nine, but I think there's still room for improvement.
Yeah, and one guy that we expected, at least Nate and myself, expected to challenge for save opportunities was Tyler Duffy. I know we did some early fantasy drafts, like early winter. Well, you could say late, right? Basically at the end of last season. And Tyler Duffy ended up on a lot of my teams because of that, you know, the high strikeout, low walk, kind of, you know, good stuff and kind of come on in and get guys out in the nitty gritty. But but Duffy has had some serious command issues, a 26% walk rate so far this year. And, you know, I went back and looked in years past, you know, he's been a 5 or 6%, maybe a 7% walk guy. At 26%. I was like, all right, let me dig a little deeper and see what I can find. In his career, Duffy has lived, I guess you could say he's lived outside the zone. He doesn't throw many pitches in the zone. He's kind of this guy who gets folks to chase, 30 to 35% chase rate throughout his career. He's, you know, he's a pitcher who can throw a first pitch strike and get you to chase. But so far this year, batters that he's faced have only chased 13% of the time outside the zone. That's way low. Is there any talk or, you know, any buzz about the potential that maybe Duffy is tipping his pitches and that's why they're not going outside the zone as much as they have been?
I don't think so. I think it's a command thing because he's pretty much a two pitch guy with a fastball and then a knuckle curve. Mm-hmm. And the knuckle curve, I think, is in general going to be a pitch that you're going to see a really low zone rate on it, like an in zone percentage. And it's a chase pitch. And if he's not locating his fastball, he can't really go to his chase pitches. And if he can't locate his fastball, they're not going to chase anything that bends. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, the sample size lengthening out a little bit, but also whether it's him finding something mechanically or just a quick tweak here or there from Wes Johnson, I don't think he's far off. But with that said, I'll be definitely watching his velocity because it was a little slow to creep up this spring. He was sitting more 89, 91, and I think they'd probably rather have him in that 92, 93 range, which he's done to some extent this year. But again, that's going to be the big thing because he's not a big power guy, but he needs enough fastball velocity to keep people off that that knuckle curve, which he tunnels pretty good up in the zone with the fastball and then down with the curve.
Yeah, I know we're talking about small sample size. And the season as a whole is extremely small. I mean, we've said this numerous times. We're still in the starting gate. I think when we dive into so many bullpens and just in baseball in general, we forget, especially after last year's short little sprint, that this, you know, there's still 140 plus games. But the Twins, obviously not exactly where they're wanting to be. Again, small sample size. Go ahead.
Well, and there are some bullpens who are doing exactly what you expected. I wrote up the Padres recently, and they've been terrific. When I wrote them up, they'd thrown the most innings in the National League. They had one of the top ERAs, top whips, top slash lines allowed. And that you kind of look at that and you point at that and start nodding. You're like, yeah, that's exactly what I expected. And so you can be kind of fooled into thinking, okay, well, if some teams are doing what they're supposed to, why are these ones not? And again, too, like you said, we did go through a 60-game season where the overreactions were amped up because each game was worth like 2.4 of a normal game or whatever it was. I don't remember the number. I've tried to put 2020 out of my mind in every way, shape, and form. And it's especially baseball-wise, just because it didn't really it didn't even get up the roller coaster hill before it came down. So you know, it was what it was, and it was the best of a bad situation. But it wasn't particularly instructive for anything we're trying to do in the fantasy circles here in 2021.
Right. But let's play a little clairvoyant and hopefully this isn't right. I know everybody likes playing clairvoyance because then it puts you in a great spot. But I saw in one of the questions that was posed to you on your Substack and through the Access Twins is that when is Alex Colome going to be DFA'd? And obviously that's tongue in cheek and a joke, and you don't anticipate that. But the buyout for next year is, you know, $1.25 million. if the Twins are in a rough spot and Colomé is actually still pitching decent, there's plenty of suitors that would like to get his, you know, just somehow outperforming peripherals. But let's say he does. I mean, if he gets released, is there, number one, is there a chance that you ever see that happening? Number two, if that does happen, who's in line and who's taking the saves? Is it Rogers or somebody else that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. I think they would ride out the year or flip him if it was a tough season. I have a really hard time believing it'd be a tough season unless things continue to spiral, which even still, I mean, they've been in pretty much every game outside of one or two through 15 to this point. So, I mean, they'll be open to it. The power structure that's in the front office has made some of those trades. Fernando Rodney himself was traded to Oakland, and it was for a guy who's on their 40-man roster right now, Dakota Chalmers. So they're very into the idea of flipping guys. They did it with Lance Lynn. They did it with Brian Dozier. They're going to do it if it's the right move. But I can't really think about that too much with Colomé right now. Now, with that said, if what you say comes to fruition, I think Rogers is the guy, because I think Robles would also get flipped because he's just on a one-year deal. So I'd go Rogers first, Duffy second, and Robles, or Jorge Alcala is kind of the sleeper here. He gave up a homer tonight, but he's got really good stuff, and I think the strikeouts are going to come for him. So that'd be the guy I'd keep an eye on as a sleeper.
Yeah, I don't want to let you go before I put you on the spot, too. We mentioned a whole bunch of names in this bullpen, and I think I know that your answer is going to be based on what you just said to me. But is there a name that we haven't really dug into yet that fantasy baseball players should have on their watch list in case Colomé is moved, or, you know, Robles is just not, you know, just not a good pitcher any longer? Who can quickly climb the ladder into some big high leverage situations.
I mean, it depends on how deep in the weeds you want to go. I can go a couple different layers. I think Alcala is the most obvious, and quote unquote, because he's like sixth or seventh in the bullpen hierarchy when everybody's going, including Stashek coming back. But with that said, Brandon Waddell could be really interesting. He took everybody out in spring training and has kind of messed with a slider from the left side. The Twins love sliders, and they love lefties who can bring the velocity a little bit. And then if you want to go really deep, keep an eye on Matt Cantorino, who is throwing the heck out of the ball. He went to Rice, if I'm not mistaken. And while he hasn't pitched a ton in their minors because of COVID and all that, he has ramped up their system. He made it to the all-training site at the end of last year. So Matt Cantorino is the guy I'm keeping an eye on if I want to go really, really into the weeds.
Wow. That, I got to say, I love when we get someone on from a perspective of about 8 straight months of Aaron and I covering every bullpen as deep as you can possibly go. And we get into the weeds and we get some nibbles on some late names that I had not heard of.
Well, the talk is that they want Cantorino to start, but if you go back and watch some of his spring training highlights, I don't see the motion for a starter at all. He's way too herky jerky, way too violent. He throws 98. So that's a reliever to me.
That's awesome. Aaron.
Yeah.
I think you have given Brandon every question possible. I think I have. Brandon, why don't you tell everybody again where they can find you at?
You can find me at Brandon_Warren on Twitter, at Access Twins, and accesstwins.substack.com.
Awesome. Well, for Aaron, for Nate, and Brandon again, thank you very much. Thanks for listening, and we'll get Bob with the postgame show.
Post game show is brought to you by Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.